T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Hey, it's Sean Sharif.
And RJ Choppy.
We're not just a radio show, we're also a podcast. Find the Sean and RJ show anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button, or get every minute of the show on demand the way you want to listen. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to get to NFL overreaction or reality in just a minute. I just want to know if people have like really locked in and listened to that commercial with Tommy. So, because
dude, I think be careful.
This was the first time I got to hear it all the way through. The last time I only heard like the back half or third of it. Does it not feel like Tommy's parents have heaped a lot of information on him? Tommy is completely aware of why his dad's sleeping on the couch. His mom said they might take all their stuff. It feels like you've told this kid too much. Let him be a kid and live his life.
Yeah, no, you got a really good point. You shouldn't, the kids shouldn't worry about those things, even though it's your situation to deal with. But Kevin, it does sound like that kid's one of those that asks lots of questions.
Man, that kid has hot opinions, too.
Does he have hot opinions, or has he heard his mom say things around? Because you know how that is, right?
That's a good point.
Where'd you hear that?
Yeah.
Oh, mom said it.
Because in the commercial, he says the monsters at the IRS, and then says they're coming to take his toys. So he's got opinions, but I'm telling you, you should listen to all of our commercials. Well, this is why you should stick around every break, because that commercial is something, man.
It's it's the most entertaining commercial in America.
100%. 100%. Update from the 214. Bad news, Corey. My wife said I can't get my nipples pierced. I told her to give me $12,000 to donate, and she said no.
Does she run all the money in the house?
It does
feel
like...
Or is that your money?
It does feel like for $12,000, you probably need to like have a discussion, right?
No, I mean, if it's your money.
Wow. It's not.
You know how women are.
Okay, PJ Washington. That Thank actually you, is kind of applicable here. All right. NFL overreaction or reality? This question is going to come up tomorrow in our Jerry interview. Overreaction or reality? The Cowboys should trade George Pickens.
So I asked you this a couple weeks ago, and it was about 3 weeks ago.
First round pick. Let's do it.
And I said for a first round pick, and you said absolutely. How low can you go?
I'd take a second, but that's probably about it.
Did you give up a second for him?
Third? Right? Third. And I would do it just because, look, this is my opinion about where the Cowboys season is going. And I don't think this is a fringy opinion, is that this Cowboys season is not going to end where you want it to end. Where you want it to end is you win the Super Bowl. For some people, it might be just get to the NFC Championship game. Either way, there is nothing that you've seen about this team that has led you to believe that they're going to get there. They're halfway through the season and have yet to win a back-to-back game. So, like, what are we even talking about here? And so when Jerry says all things are on the table, that is what I'm interested in.
Okay. So you're asking...
Overreaction or reality, the Cowboys yeah. should trade George Pickens.
Reality, if that's the way this season is going. And if
is
they
that
believe,
the way you think
and if
it
they
is
believe
going?
This, I don't. I think they're... I think well, because I think they're a middling team that could be right there or right there not. And so...
Is that what you want?
No! But it's not what I want, Kevin.
That's a good point.
I have decided that. I don't... Yeah. Look, everybody out there gets so mad about Jerry.
He does. He knows what you think.
I know. I know you, why you get mad. I stopped getting mad about it a long time ago.
Yeah.
Because I can only do so much.
Yeah.
But so, but I would do it.
Okay.
If I was running the team.
I gotcha.
But at the same time, I also like the idea of having two studs out there next year and for the foreseeable future for whoever my quarterback is.
I get it.
And if this window for Dak is this window, having him there, okay, having those two receivers there for Dak in whatever this window is, and then those two receivers either being there or as assets later whenever I get a new rookie quarterback are benefits as well. So I am thinking about down the road.
Yeah.
Now, here's another thing, though, Kevin. Can I throw this in your...
Please do.
Because you're trying to trade people.
That's right.
Bill Barnwell suggested trading Brandon Aubrey.
What do I get for him?
7 firsts.
Okay. Under that scenario, yes.
He said, would someone like the Rams be willing to offer the Cowboys a second-round pick? My guess is no, but it's fun to think about.
I'm not going to lie. For second round pick, I need something ancillary. Like, I don't Whoa. Know. This is going to sound.
He's a kicker.
I know.
They're a dime a dozen.
They are not. And this stupid team plays so many close games that it feels like it's relevant all of the time.
But you just said these close games don't matter.
Oh.
This year.
But you were talking about the future. I think Brandon Aubrey can hopefully kick like this for a really long time. And he is restricted free agent. So you can keep him. But look, if you really came to me with a high second round pick, because see, the Rams might have a low second round pick too. But if you came to me with a second round pick for Pickens and Aubrey, then you know what? Maybe that could change my mind. It's like the money in the briefcase. Mm-hmm. If the offer is really in front of me and all of a sudden I'm like, hold on. So next year I have 2 firsts and 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
That.
Dude, you can build a team right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that feels hard to turn away from.
No.
If you trust your scouting department.
True.
Again, we've put a lot of pressure on the scouting department the last few years
yeah.
by not getting them more picks
yeah.
and by putting them in bad situations in free agency. It's been downright neglect to the scouting department in
right,
this way.
Right.
But if you add that, now you're like, okay, guys, y'all better hit on all these.
And by the way, from the 203, can we not talk about trading Pickens? He's been great. Hold him on the rest of the season, then try to work a deal with him or tag him. I think if you franchise tag George Pickens, that is not going to work out the way you think it is.
I agree with you, just based on what we just saw with Micah.
Overreaction or reality? Matthew Stafford is a first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback. Because remember, for a while, it was, is he going to be a Hall of Famer? Then he won a Super Bowl. Feels like, yeah, probably.
You know how you said Russell Wilson played his way, or you've asked that question about him playing his way out of? Matt Stafford has played his way into it.
I agree. Do you think he's played his way into first ballot now?
No.
Okay.
No, because it is that difficult. I would have to also see who's in that class whenever he retires.
I get that.
At the moment. Like, as if Myles Garrett and, you know, if that whole group was full, I'd be like, I don't know, man. But what he's done the last 5 years has been really impressive. The leadership, the other qualities that go with it. And he has a coach that just continues to set him up for success. So I see where you're going. But no, not first ballot. But he's definitely a Hall of Famer.
So far this year, his team's 5-2. He has 17 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. Alec. Overreaction or reality, Matthew Stafford is a first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback.
Reality for me. I think the trade validated any
idea that he is one of the better quarterbacks of this generation.
He was just stuck.
Yes, he was just stuck. He won with a really bad Detroit team. He didn't make it to the championship game and get a ring there, but he won and made it to the playoffs with a team that had no business making the playoffs. He was very good there. He finally kind of realized, okay, I have a shorter amount of time, and literally one and done. He gets out of there. Yeah. He instantly wins a Super Bowl on a better team. But like you said, this season is proving everything to me that he is still that dude. We were talking about, is he going to play again? You know, should he retire? Clearly, he disagreed with any conversation about that. He's having 5 touchdown passing games, and he still is really, really good, and he has been doing this his entire career. He's a first ballot guy for me.
He wins another ring? Somebody just said, what if he wins another ring? Yeah, walk him in.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. NFL overreaction or reality. The Jaguars made a mistake trading for Travis Hunter if this is how they're going to use him. So, thus far, Travis Hunter has 298 yards receiving, which is tied with Robert Woods for 163rd among all-time wide receivers in their first 7 games. And he's third among wideouts this season with receiving yards, but he is way behind Tet McMillan and Emeka Ebuka. And he was drafted way higher than them.
And they traded picks for
yes,
him, too.
Yes, exactly.
Reality, but they're, what's the percentage of defensive plays that he's,
it's pretty low.
I just feel like they're handling him with white gloves. And saying this is a rookie year and learning about him, too.
Right.
Like Deion was more than comfortable letting him do it at Colorado because he'd seen him do it his whole life.
Yeah.
Like he'd worked with this kid his whole life. He knew what he was capable of. And I think Liam Cohen's still trying to learn him and figure him out. Hey, can you get through a full NFL season without a serious injury, too? Let's do these things. And I don't know where his value is best for them. I think that's something else they don't know. They might not. I don't think they know exactly where his value is offensively or defensively.
That is interesting as well. Alec, overreaction reality. The Jags made a mistake for trading for Travis Hunter if this is how they're going to use him.
Overreaction, I think it's a work in progress. And I think the timeline is his rookie contract, if we're being honest, to figure this out. I know that it's like, duh, because he's under contract. But I say that because it's a new system with a first-year head coach, a first-year GM. You know, everybody is still trying to figure things out. And I know that the numbers might not be super pretty and everything, but I think that offense has looked a lot better. That defense we talked about has surprised us at times this season with how flashy they've been. I think this is a team in the making still. So I think especially once you get a first full season and then he goes into his second off season, they can say, okay, we know what you're really good at. We know what you're good at. We know what you struggle at. Now, right. At an NFL level, let's address those things and let's really tailor to what you're good at. So I do think you're going to see the usage on both sides probably even out a little bit more at some point, one way or the other. But I do think it's too early to say that it was a mistake.
Corey, I think I know where you're going to go with this one. NFL overreaction or reality. The Falcons missed their window to trade Kirk Cousins.
Overreaction. You need a backup quarterback so bad in this league, oh, Kevin. Especially with Michael
Penix.
He says,
I just want to be a starter.
Reality, Kevin. That guy, I understand what he wants.
Sure.
Father Time tells the story here, guys.
Right.
He throws a pretty ball. His offense is pathetic at times. There are sometimes he looks good, but he's not there anymore, man. He doesn't have it. And so I would tell him, we appreciate that, but we can't find a team that wants
Yeah. him. Alec, overreaction reality. The Falcons, well, they missed their window to trade Kirk.
Yeah, I'd say reality. The idea of him, you know, telling people around him that he wants another starting opportunity ahead of the trade deadline is...
That's neat.
It's just hilarious to me because, brother, you had the job interview last week and you bombed it. Nobody wants to have you starting by choice
right.
at this point in your career. You are there because of necessity. not because they want you to be there. Like Corey said, you need somebody who's at least played the game at a decent level before to back up your quarterback, especially a guy like Penix, who young into his career is already bringing a ton of baggage with him in terms of injury history. So he's there by necessity. He should just be glad that he's collecting that check.
One more for y'all. Overreaction or reality? Jordan Love should be getting more attention as the potential NFL MVP. He is kind of that 5 through 9 spot is all sort of packed together depending on where you go. But I'm surprised for a team that is so good and a quarterback that has been playing very well that he's not more in that conversation.
His numbers are weird as consistency-wise.
Okay.
Like against the Cardinals, 179 yards. Against the Browns, 183 yards. Against the Lions, 188 yards. In games where it hasn't been beautiful.
Right.
And then he's got these other games where it's like 300 yards. And you're just like, what happened in these other games?
And he's taking care of the ball?
The consistency, though, is a little off for me. Okay. But he's got, 112 rating right now? Like, that's a nice rating. And 13-2 is a good number.
His QBR is sixth in the league?
I just don't think it's... I think he's sixth. I think he's in that area where maybe you're saying more Love because you feel like he should be top three. I don't yet, but because there are other people in that top three for me. But he's knocking on the door, so I'll say that that's an overreaction.
Who would be the others in your top three? Or who would be your top three? I'm sorry.
I mean, I think Drake May has made his case.
Okay.
I think that Josh Allen's going to be in the conversation naturally. And I did have Baker in that conversation up until Matt Stafford actually belongs in that conversation at the top of it.
And see, that's the thing that's tricky about some of these stats and like QBR and stuff is Jordan Love's QBR is 8 points higher than Matthew Stafford, and it is 11.5 points higher than Josh Allen. But I'm with you. I think Josh Allen will be in that conversation as well. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we move into the lunch rush, the campus connection. What are the three most coveted jobs in college football? And wait, who's going to pick the next LSU head coach?
It'll be me.
We're going to talk about it next right here on The Fan.
It's like they're going to snap it before the end of the quarter. Saiyan fires on the fade, and it's a touchdown to Cardell Tate for the second time today.
KNC Masterpiece. Right here on 105.3 The Fan, where it's always important to learn. Right now, to help us with that, we bring in Carter Freeman.
Let's learn.
For the Campus Connection. And I want to start with this. There's a lot to talk about, including who gets to pick the next LSU coach. But I want to start with what Corey has been asking people. Great question. What are the three most coveted jobs in college football?
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
So if every job was open, what are the first three that would be filled is what you're asking?
And here's the thing, too. I guess this also comes down to, because when Broadus answered this, he was talking about right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in general, I'm like, what overall in the history, and I guess let's now bring it to the last 30 years or so. What do you look at as like, that's the place you want to be? And Broadus went through and was like, you want to be now with NIL money. You obviously want to be in a place where you're getting money spent. And there are a lot of ones that can freely do that. But if you guys were going to take a job, just you can come up with whatever it was. And when you're a fan, when you're looking around, what are the three that you're like, I want to be there?
I think the three that first come to mind for me, because I saw this on the run sheet and I was just running through all the jobs in my head, was it's Texas, Notre Dame, and Ohio State.
I think are the three. Ohio State has made everybody's list.
Yeah.
Every single person's list. Why?
It's the most recession-proof job in the country. When was the last time Ohio State was bad? It was 2011 when they were sanctioned to hell from Tattoo Gate and they didn't have a full-time head coach.
Yeah.
Outside of that, ever since, we'll just go turn of the century, right? Since 2000, they have the second most national titles. They win 10 plus games every single season. It's really hard for them to just not be good. They are a factory to the level that Alabama was, but Alabama had lean years there in the, you know, middle of the 2000s.
And Alabama, like, that was Saban's world. And so I wonder sometimes if you want to be, like, now you're compared to Saban for the rest of your life. But
yeah,
even still, like, the factory that it is and has been, Texas has popped up 75% of the time. Notre Dame has not popped up as much as I expected. And we can talk about Texas in a minute, but Notre Dame is one that I would put on my list just because history. I think like the just what it's been over its time, people want to go walk those halls and be there.
Yeah, and I think that now with Marcus Freeman and what you've seen, and you can make fun of Brian Kelly, and he deserves a lot of it, but they won a lot with him there in a way that they had not in the previous decade before he got to South Bend.
Right.
It's a place where you can win. You set your own schedule. You do still play those top-tier teams. I mean, this year they played at Miami. They played Texas A&M, right? They're still... You get to choose who you want to play, and you get all the money, right? Like, you get that deal with NBC where you get to spend that however you want, and you have all the control, all the power to kind of just forge your own path. They're the only school that's really like that, and they have the history. When you think of traditions in college, you just immediately go to Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's when I think, you know, non-Americans think of college football. Notre Dame's probably the school they first think of, right?
Yes. Yeah. I mean,
That's a good point.
Even if they're not good, I think about Notre Dame whenever I think of college football, just in general, because of what they've, you know, Rudy, like the branding. It's a brand, and they did a great job at marketing it back in the day, and it's lived with me since. Now, Texas, Kevin, you threw Texas in on yours, I believe.
I did
you
not.
You said Georgia, Bama, and Ohio State.
Ohio State, Alabama, and Georgia were the ones, but I think Texas would be four.
Okay, why does Texas get that?
Fertile recruiting ground. You have all the best players right in your backyard.
And a lot of money.
And that's probably the biggest selling point, is they have it's either them or Ohio State, and A&M's close, but I think Texas has the highest athletics budget in the country.
Yeah.
And it is, you know, one, two, and three, those three schools I just mentioned, they are like far and away ahead of everybody else. Texas is still the school that a lot of kids in the state want to play for, no matter if they're good or if they're bad.
Big state.
LSU has that a little bit going for them too, where like, if you're a kid from Louisiana, you don't want to play for Brian Kelly. You want to play for LSU.
That's right.
So like that school is so important to that state. That's a selling point for that job. But Texas, the pedigree, the brand, the history, it's always gone in their favor to the point where you've had TCU pop up, you've had Baylor pop up, have those big years. Texas is still going to always have a better class than you. And now with NIL and the way that they've done a good job of spending their money and building their team, I think they're always going to be up there. I think even ahead of an Alabama,
okay,
and ahead of a Georgia.
And so I hear that for sure. Does it ever surprise you that that remains the case as like, let's just look at recent memory. Georgia won multiple national titles. Alabama, multiple national titles. Same with Ohio State. Texas has won one national title in the last 50 years.
It's true.
50. And so does it surprise you that that level of prestige carries through, or is it similar to the Notre Dame thing where you have to go back to the 80s to find those national championships coming in left
and right? Yeah, it's 88, I think, was Notre Dame's last one.
That is correct.
Where they beat West Virginia in their bowl game. That would be really weird if West Virginia had a national championship.
If you didn't like this system or the system before, trust us, it used to be way worse. But I think you're spot on. It is a brand. And much like people get upset about the Cowboys being a brand without actually winning, I know Texas is at least actually around the rim, as Jerry likes to say.
Lately.
But yeah, lately. But they don't win it. They've won one time in the last 50 years. And that's why I'm surprised they still carry that same level of cachet as some of these other teams that have just been national championship factories. But they do.
They do. And yeah, they've built that image up for a long, long time. And it's the biggest. I mean, we talk about high school football a lot on the station. We have the best high school football in the country here.
And it's not particularly close.
And you're the biggest brand in that state.
So that I can see also why that's alluring for fans. Coaches, though, that's alluring for them, too, is to carry that brand, like to be leader, ambassadors.
Because
for
you'll
that
get
brand.
Lots of attention like this. This isn't just about this game, but take a look at they're hosting Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt is higher ranked by a good amount. Mm-hmm. Texas has needed smoke, mirrors, and miracles to win their last two games, and yet Texas is a decisive favorite in that game.
And
part of it's because of the brand.
No offense to Texas fans, but I don't think DKR has one of the greatest home field advantages in the sport.
They don't.
For having 100,000 people that can fit in there, it doesn't sound at times like Georgia does, or like Florida, or maybe
Washington,
some of these other schools. But the other thing too is we mentioned Notre Dame's had some lean years. Texas, the whole last, all the 2010s, they were pretty underwhelming, but you come in, you get all the resources, and you can build that back, right? Like, if you're that coach that is the one to lead them back to prominence, as we've seen Sark do, as we've seen Marcus Freeman do at Notre Dame, like, you are just immediately, because of the brand, because of the school you're at, you are front and center of everything, which is why we've heard the rumors about Sark potentially wanting to leave to the NFL. Like, it's another thing where, like, you're just going to be at the forefront. We've seen Marcus Freeman rumored for LSU, for Florida, like, all these other jobs. Like, you become a legend at that place, and it can push you on to even bigger things maybe down the road.
Food-wise, best places to coach?
LSU.
Okay.
I don't think there's a debate, honestly.
When I went to Terry Black, well, the morning show might. When I went to Terry Black's in Austin, I thought it was freaking amazing.
You know we have one here in Dallas?
I do. Now,
so SMU.
I want to stick in Texas for just a second. Have you been fascinated? I know this is like kind of a different tier, but have you been fascinated by Tarleton State?
Yeah, dude. They're number two at the FCS level.
And they are 9-0.
Yes.
And I know this is the NIL era, but man, Tarleton State is a fascinating story to me.
On Fan University a couple weeks ago, we had Todd Whitten, head coach of the Texans, on. You can watch that interview on our 105 Through the Fan YouTube channel. And he talked about how he was head coach at Tarleton State in the 90s when they were going from NAIA, non-scholarship, to Division II. They got kicked out of their NAIA conference that they were in because they were too good. they won it too much. So their conference kicked them out. So they had to move up. So he's been with them from that transition to now, transition from D2 to FCS. And they've been so good in the portal at that level. And Todd Whitten is such a staple at that school that he's kept it together during this transition. And yeah, now they're 9-0. Last I checked, they'd won every one of their games except for one by double digits. And that one was against Army when they beat an FBS team to start the season. So it's a phenomenal story. They're one of the best teams in the state, and I know it's not FBS or not, you know, the highest level of competition, but at their level, they are awesome. And the only team better than them is North Dakota State right now, who North Dakota State is the Alabama of the FCS level, right? So it is an awesome story. It's been really fun to follow.
Now, I want to talk some more about LSU. We've talked about LSU a couple times, like kind of being in the mix for top three, though it sounds like Ohio State, Texas are the absolute locks. And then third, some people have some different thoughts. But I see where he's going with this, but the Louisiana governor was talking about who's going to be the next LSU head coach. Now, you're going to hear something in there that's probably going to get a lot of people's attention. But I think the rest of what he's saying is very valid. He goes, there's a pattern. This guy here now, Woodward, that is their AD, that wrote the contract costs A&M $77 million. Now we have to pick up $53 million liability. We're not doing that again. And you know what? I believe we're going to find a great coach. Maybe we'll let President Trump pick it. He loves winners. But the idea that the AD for LSU would get to pick another coach when, like, the last two coaches he snagged are currently being paid $130 million in buyouts is kind of weird.
It is, and that's one of this whole saga with Jeff Landry, the Louisiana governor, and their board of regents and whatever is part of the reason why I wouldn't put LSU in my top three most desirable jobs now.
Yeah, yeah.
I think if LSU had a standing president, which they don't right now, and their board of regents is guys and gals appointed by the governor, there's just so much flux with the leadership. And again, who's picking the head coach? Who are you answering to? That was something with Texas for a long time where it was like, okay, are you coaching the football team or are you really just here to appease all of the boosters and the donors and stuff? And every school has to do that. But Texas for a long time, that was at the forefront. Charlie Strong with the guy who came after him. I can't think of his name right. Tom Herman. And so Texas has kind of figured that out where they've gotten a lot of their ducks in a row. LSU does not have that right now. And it makes sense. Yeah, you don't want the guy who's giving out all these crazy coaching contracts to bring in someone else that'll then cost the university all this money later down the line. But why would I want to go somewhere like that when there's so much else involved that all the resources are great? The recruiting's great because kids want to play for the school, not for you. You just have that built in. But there's so much other stuff going on right now that LSU has to figure out that I'd be a little hesitant to immediately be like, okay, that's where I want to go.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that also when I understand he does have the two biggest payouts on his ledger right now. When you sign those deals with those guys, when you make those offers to them, you do believe that they're going to be there coaching well for a while.
Sure.
Like I'll tell you, many an
A&M fan that was like, good, we got Jimbo locked up.
I'm paying after this payout. I can't wait to pay this payout. You're thinking, man, I'm never going to have to pay this thing. And then it happens. So that is a weird place to be. And he's had some success right in the past at Washington doing what he was doing. Then he have Ty Willingham. He got Chris Peterson up there.
Is this Scott Woodward was the AD up there before?
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't personally aware of that. But yeah, look, what have you done for me lately?
I think he hired Sark too.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that one didn't work out. But the Chris Peterson one absolutely did. But what have you done for me lately? You've given out two contracts that have cost over $100 million for these guys to not coach.
Well,
I wonder if he was friends with them and was like, I'm going to get you guys paid. Don't worry about it.
Well, then if he got 10% and he loses his job, maybe he'll be okay. I don't know. Well, another option is Coach O. Ed Orgeron said he would love to return to
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G.
More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contracts. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Unless you as the head coach. I bet he would.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that, right?
I mean, I do because I love Coach O, and there's no one that embodies the state of Louisiana more than Ed Orgeron. And he's been linked to... Ed Orgeron really wants to coach again. I think some school is going to hire him, whether that's LSU, that's not going to happen.
Go Tigers.
Yeah, exactly. Oregon State is another one, so you get Orgeron State, which I would absolutely love.
Oh, okay, I'm back in.
But he'll
accusations be damned.
I think he'll get a job somewhere, just not at probably an SEC or a Big Ten school.
Okay.
And another guy who's not going to take the Penn State job, at the very least, Matt Rhule, right? He just signed a contract extension maybe an hour ago to stay at Nebraska.
And what's funny? It's an extension, and he was already signed through 2030.
That's what you got to do.
And now he's signed through 2032.
And he didn't even get a pay raise out of it. Well, it's just CFP incentives are what was added, but it raised his buyout, so it'd be really hard for him to leave.
$15 million. Now, to go along with that, as long as we're talking about business moves, did you see the city of Pasadena and the Rose Bowl have filed a lawsuit against UCLA saying the school is trying to move from the Rose Bowl to SoFi Stadium?
So that people would actually go to their games and actually be able to see them?
Yeah.
The Rose Bowl is awesome. It's no other sport in the U.S. at least has a place like the Rose Bowl that is so... you know, just associated with it and a certain time of the year. And I think that's really cool. It's also in a neighborhood and it is about 30 miles away from UCLA's campus. And it is not easy to get to if you're a Bruins fan to go watch them lose by 50 points to Indiana, right? Against teams from the Midwest. So it makes sense that UCLA would want to leave, find a better place for them. But colleges playing at NFL stadiums is just so lifeless. It's just such a shame that neither side has really been able to, I don't know, work with each other to make something more appeasable. But the Rose Bowl's in the middle of a neighborhood. It's really hard to, do anything about that.
Now,
you don't like roses? Is that what you're saying?
I thought you were going to say something else. I want to talk about finally, the NCAA made a smart move. Because I'm going to go to Pittsburgh's coach. Pat Narduzzi was talking about gambling and being allowed to gamble on professional sports. He said, it's absolutely one of the stupidest decisions I've ever seen. First of all, it's a habit. It's no different than smoking, drinking, doing drugs. It's a bad habit. I don't think anyone here encourages you guys to go out drinking and getting smashed on a Friday or Saturday night or at a ball game. So he throws out there, and then NCAA, you know, probably something to do with what's happening in the NBA, said they are delaying the implementation of their rule allowing college athletes to bet on pro sports.
The Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, also released a statement, and he's got a lot of sway. I want to say he might be a part of the board that votes to approve these things.
Okay.
So, yeah, Greg Sankey's kind of bullying the NCAA into not accepting this. And
don't you think they should not accept this?
It's a common sense thing. It just there doesn't seem to be reason to cross those two streams. You're just inviting bad things to happen. And we saw earlier this year, John Mateer may or may not have gambled on college football, right?
Right.
So, and last year, Iowa and Iowa State had a bunch of players busted because they found their DraftKings accounts. Like, the genie's out of the bottle. You're not going to put it back in, but you can at least slow the release because it just doesn't seem right to allow students. What would you have done when you were 20 with these you know, this opportunity in front of you?
I would have
stupid
gambled
stuff.
One.
Yeah. Oh.
Because I would have been, and I'm just saying, they're being allowed to bet on pro games is different, right? Where's the problem here? What effect do they have on the pro games?
I just think the two are
they can't control an outcome.
Don't you think you're making a big assumption that that's where it stops?
Yeah.
I think that's the Pittsburgh coach's point.
I understand that
NFL and college are so intrinsically linked too. It's like that just. That I don't know. That's like allowing like G League players to gamble on NBA games. I just think that it's too close of a connection in my mind.
Okay, I can see how. Hey, that guy just went to the league this year. I was his teammate last year.
Yeah.
We're still connected. He just told
me. You
get
a little
injured.
Bit of insider information.
He's dealing with a little bit there.
Yeah.
I can understand that. That's the connection I was looking for, and that's what I was. Otherwise, let the kids play. I mean, how else are they going to eat? NIL money, Kevin. That's the answer.
That's true.
I am glad they opened up NIL. I know a lot of people are upset. It didn't have to be this way, but the rules that used to be in place were ridiculous.
Yes.
For players that were making so much money for the NCAA. All right, Carter, before we transition over to anything else, is there anything else you wanted to run through for the upcoming weekend? Is Oklahoma-Tennessee an elimination game?
For a playoff spot, yeah. Because the loser would have...
Three losses, right?
Yeah, the loser would have three. Who's Tennessee? They lost to Georgia.
They have two losses.
And they lost. Who else did they lose to? Okay, but they have two losses. So, yeah, I think at 9-3, looking at those teams, you know, with Oklahoma, if they lose this game, they still have Alabama. But then it's like Missouri who lost their quarterback and then LSU who doesn't have a full-time head coach. So maybe the end of their schedule doesn't look as strong as it might have. So yeah, I think it is. The SEC could get as many as five teams in the playoff. I think that's a very real possibility.
Alabama, Georgia, Texas A&M, Vanderbilt, and the winner of this?
The winner of this game, I mean, look, if Texas wins out, they're going to have one conference loss.
Yeah.
And their only losses would be at the beginning of the season in Florida. And they would have gone on a hot streak to end the season. So I don't think you can completely rule them out either. But yeah, whoever loses this game is totally out. And I hate it because I'm an OU grad, but this offense, OU hasn't scored more than 25 points or 26 points in an SEC game since they joined the conference. And I just don't think they're going to score that much on the road, even against a Tennessee team that's defense is much, much worse than it was last year.
Right. Well, we appreciate the insight, college football, at all times. Where can people listen to you this weekend?
Fan University.
Or see you.
Yes, you can come out and see us, Fan University, 9-1. We will be at the Jake's Burgers off of Greenville Avenue.
You're kidding me, Corey.
I don't come on the radio and lie.
This is awesome.
What's more shocking, that or that the Missouri quarterback isn't going to be out for like 14 years?
That was my story for C Block, Kevin.
Oh, okay.
I'm just joking. It wasn't. The Missouri thing.
Thanks,
but
buddy.
Because I mean, I understand why they're sending Carter to Jake's. It's a fantastic place.
So 9-1 this Saturday. And we are efforting, I believe tomorrow morning, we will talk to Mike Elko, Texas A&M head coach. Assuming that goes through, you'll be able to hear him with us on Saturday.
I like it.
Ask a question for Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin, what do you want me to ask? I'm going to ask my dad, too, because he went to A&M.
What would he say to longtime A&M fans who are just worried that the carpet is just going to get pulled out from under them in a more hilarious fashion than usual?
Should I use the phrase battered Aggie syndrome?
Yes.
Because that's the one I see online all the time.
Yes. Yes, you should.
I will. Can I give you guys my favorite horror movie, too?
Yes, please. Before I head out. Hit the theme! You got to wait for that. We could talk over it, though, because Halloween is tomorrow. If you guys knew that or not. I think I might be holding my cane too high. Well, that's what I'm trying to do.
It depends on how tall you are.
That's a good point.
If you give a bad opinion, can I use the cane to like yank you off the stage?
Oh,
there will
yes.
be no yanking.
They play in New York.
Carter.
Yes.
Very funny. Carter, what is your favorite horror movie?
Okay, I'm not the biggest horror fan. I like reading horror novels. I don't like watching.
The suspense
is not for me.
This is not the Nerdlinger corner.
But every Halloween, I'm pushing through this just disdainful hate being sent my way for having an opinion.
Wouldn't most hate be disdainful?
I think there can be love hate.
Okay.
Yeah. That can be a thing.
What's the movie already?
The Thing. I will watch
that
The
is
Thing
a good movie.
From 1980.
Kurt Russell.
And the special effects are what do it for me because there's just so, it's so disgusting.
Yes.
It's disgustfling, as Mike McCarthy would say. But it has aged like fine wine. It's from, I think, 1980 is when the movie came out. And it still looks so good, so realistic, so disgusting to this day. Thank you, Mike. It is a phenomenal movie top to bottom. So The Thing from like the early 80s, that's my favorite.
I agree. And they're stuck at like an Arctic ice station or some that movie actually I do really enjoy. And you know what? If you're going on I know you probably won't, but if people are going on an 80s horror rampage, once again, Sleepaway Camp from 1983 or Chopping Mall from 1986. Both of those movies are like an hour and 20 minutes long. So I think you should watch them. Corey, what is your favorite horror movie?
Oh, man. I'm going to have to give this one some thought. You know, Carrie is a movie that whenever I watched it with my mom and I was like, what happened? You know, I was like, what's a period? And, you know, I still had questions. It was probably too early for me to watch that movie. However, I was sitting on my mom's bed watching that movie, and in the reflection of the mirror behind, my dad could see that as he was walking down the hallway. And it was at the very end of the movie. And Kevin, I don't want to spoil it for everybody, but there is a jump scare at the end of that movie.
Okay, so...
And my dad jumped into the room and screamed, and I hit my head on the ceiling fan because I jumped up in the air.
No!
So high. But it's It.
Okay.
Like, Carrie is great, but It is that's the one I also watched that movie, the first one.
The Tim Curry
in my
one.
Opinion,
Pause. We just saw Carrie for the first time. That jump scare scared the crap out of
her. The movie's good. Like, it's a good movie.
Yeah.
That thing right there, it just got me. I watched the Tim Curry one in my parents' mirror. They were watching it. I snuck down the hallway, laid on the floor, and could see it in a mirror, and I could hear it because it was right there. They didn't know I was there. I had terrible dreams for years. I like the new ones. I like the new It movies, too.
I liked part one. I thought part two kind of stunk.
Reading the books, I loved the connection. Part one was really good.
Yeah.
So Corey can like horror books, but I can't.
Mm-hmm. I also watched last night the first episode of Welcome to Derry. And this has some connections to the book that they never really added those into the movies. Because they're little short stories that go into the book as well. So
this time, did Stephen King figure out an ending
for this?
Yeah,
dude. Here's the thing.
They've never got a good ending to that on film.
Kevin, Stephen King doesn't like endings.
Yeah, he doesn't like a lot of things.
But I'm going to go with It. I love It.
Okay,
Pennywise is terrifying.
I agree. And I like the new fella who played Pennywise, but I thought Tim Curry was just freaking terrifying, mm-hmm. man. But that's probably when you watch it too, because like you said, he watched it as a
child.
Like, yeah, that's probably gonna stick with you.
I also don't. I don't love horror movies. I'm not a huge horror movie person. Mm. I'm always, and I don't like sad movies. I'm usually looking for something funny.
Oh, okay.
But you know, here we are.
Alec, if you had to pick a horror movie, what would you go with as your favorite horror movie of all time?
It's weird because my favorite singular movie is not my favorite franchise. My favorite franchise is probably Friday the 13th.
Yes.
But as we've discussed before, it kind of went in some weird directions and they just kept making movies. It's like, okay,
what do you mean? Part 8, when they get on a boat that's a graduating senior cruise and it makes its way to Manhattan where he boxes a guy on the yep. roof of a building and punches his head off?
Uh-huh. That's totally normal. Or spaceships and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's part 10.
Yeah, it gets weird. But my favorite all-time movie, I would say, is the part 1 newest remake of It. I thought it was beautifully executed. Yeah. Bill Skarsgård, who played Pennywise, I think he is terrifying. I think he's awesome. He was really good at what he did. And the balance of practical effects and CGI, I thought was perfect. Like, it was so visually pleasing outside of the, you know, creepy parts. But, like, they did a really, really good job on it.
Now, from the 817, because I think if I recall, Corey, you were going to disagree with this for sure. The Blair Witch Project is very much of a particular time that I could see how if you saw it 3 years later, like in the afternoon at your house, you'd be like, this movie is stupid.
We saw it when we still believed the stuff
those
that
kids
we were
really
told.
Dead.
We thought it was a real movie. These kids are dead. This is a movie they found. And that's exactly. And I do remember, I think in the theater, like the lights went out because of tornado in the middle of it. And so like we were freaking out about that. And then when we got home, my dad like snuck out of the window and came around to my window.
Oh, yes.
And knocked on the, and I was like, my dad was always trying to scare me, dude. What's up with that, Pops?
I love it, man. Because again, I felt the same way. I thought that movie was really scary, but when I watched it later, and I was like, okay, I could see why.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre is fantastic, and it's very highly touted still.
I have to make an admission. That's what I need to watch then. I don't think I've ever seen the original.
Oh, yeah.
I saw the remake because of Jessica Biel's jeans in the trailer.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know if I've ever seen the original.
It's different than a lot of the other slasher movies of the time. Yeah. It's a lot more psychological.
Yes.
Which I appreciate.
For sure. From the 214, guys, it's The Exorcist. It's the one movie that scares me till this day. And I'm curious generationally if people go back and watch that and it still freaks them out in the same way. Linda Blair is insanely good in that movie. I love The Omen as an old school.
Yeah, people keep throwing
movie.
The Conjuring in there.
Yes. So
there's just so many of them.
That's true. But the first one that came out, man,
we had so many fears.
I thought that's Nuns. True. I thought that was
dolls.
Excellent. From the 214, Dawn of the Dead, the newer Sarah Polley
one,
old one.
The old one was awesome.
That is
still
so gory.
Still awesome.
It's the one in the mall, right?
Yes. It is freaking. But see, Carter, they have like a subsection of a movie that I like a lot. And you saw this in Chad Powers. I like it when either you're pulling a deception or the world is crumbling around you, when you get to have that little 15, 20 minutes in the middle of the movie where, you know what, let's have some fun. Maybe it's the end of the world, but that means we can go shop wherever we want or we can do whatever we want. Consequences will be there in a second. I always like that part of the movie, knowing that like
everyone's going to die.
Yeah, everyone's going to die
in 30 minutes
or you're going to be found out or whatever. Let's ride a bicycle around the mall or, you know, go get the Constitution.
That's
whatever.
Me with Friday the 13th when Freddy Krueger's just dropping one-liners.
You
like,
shut your mouth. That's a different franchise.
Welcome to prime time. And he just slams a girl's head through
that
a TV.
That is Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3, not Friday the 13th.
Oh, did I say the wrong one? My bad. I meant Nightmare on Elm Street.
I would argue that's the best one.
Scream is still holds up.
And it's still the original?
I went and watched it with my kid the other day, and I totally forgot that Drew Barrymore was in it. And then thought about, like, that was a big deal that Drew Barrymore was in that movie at the time. And that that opening scene is insane.
You are so right, because now it's become kind of like you're less shocked when somebody gets killed off at the beginning. But at the time, I'm sure people were like, let's go see the Drew Barrymore movie. It was kind of Psycho-esque, although I know Janet Leigh doesn't actually, you should watch the movie. She's in about half of it. But like Drew Barrymore is in that movie for what, 8-10 minutes? And so, and then she's gone. The most famous person in that movie.
Dead.
Probably at the time. Yeah. She's dead. And you're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And that set a precedent for some of the newer ones where they'll have someone famous at the beginning and then they die in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Yes. I am absolutely with you on that. From the 214. Guys, there's this movie called Suspiria. It's disturbing on a very unexplainable level. So I know they made a newer one, but that's also a movie that came out like in the 70s.
77.
Okay. Suspiria, Hereditary, Midsommar. These are all movies that I would throw in the category of it's a horror movie, but it's also super, super weird. If you are like, if that's your jam, go follow one of those movies. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next. Time for the C Block, starring Corey Majors.
Let's keep with this just a little bit. Yes. What's the best wrestling character to be for Halloween?
Ooh.
And more next on The Fan.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Hey, it's Sean Sharif.
And RJ Choppy.
We're not just a radio show, we're also a podcast. Find the Sean and RJ show anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button, or get every minute of the show on demand the way you want to listen.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.